The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Redding and Shasta County, to Community Radio, Free Fire Radio, Free Fire Media, the great station, the place where all the action is happening. Carl and Bot Linda. Oh, what's that? Carl and Bot Linda. How's that? Carl and Linda Bot. They're a great station here. KCNR, you're listening to the station that has all of the great information every morning for you right here at 7 o'clock. KCNR AM 1460. And this is Ron Largent. I'm filling in today for Carl and Linda. They are off on a day, and with me is my co-host, Linda. My co-host with Linda. For Linda is my daughter, Christy Largent.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And we are in for a great two-hour program. We are going to talk to the candidates for City Council, a city of Redding. It's going to be a great morning. But as we do every Friday morning, we start off the program talking about a very favorite part of our community, and that's the Haven Humane. And here with us today is Spencer. And Spencer, who'd you bring in today with you? You got a cutie there.
Good morning. This morning I brought with me Olive. She is a two-month-old Australian Shepherd mix. She is one of the cutest puppies I think I've ever seen. She's maybe 10 pounds right now. She's got long fur. Her head and her legs are all white, and she's got this nice brown patch down her side. Beautiful little puppy. She actually came into our shelter as an owner surrender. Her owner had way too many animals and needed to surrender some to us, so we were able to help them out. So right now, all of them have been adopted except for little Olive here, and we have Oliver at our shelter. So she's got a little brother, too, just as cute as she is.
Boy.
She's adorable. I'm going to post the picture right now on KCNR Facebook. I tagged them on Christy Largent Facebook, and you can see Olive and Spencer. Oh, my goodness. She's adorable. Cute little cuddly white thing. So go to the Facebook page right now, and you'll see her.
Now, Spencer, she is how old?
She's about 2 months old.
Oh, boy.
And she's fully ready to go. She's actually already spayed and microchipped and everything. So all that an adopter would have to do is just give her a nice, warm, warm, loving home with some food and some love. That's all she requires.
She's sitting there, and she's so sweet.
Boy, she's docile. She's very relaxed.
Very good for children. So if you're looking for a little puppy, this is the way to go. And give you a call or come down to Haven Humane today?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 241-1653, and our address is 7449 East Side Road.
And that's Olive, and you can't miss her. She is a doll. So
yes,
go down and say you want to see Olive. You heard about her on KCNR. Spencer, as always, thank you so much for coming in. You guys do a great job down there. And tell your boss I said hello. He's a good friend of mine. You guys just do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you, Spencer. And today, we are going to start a little...
Hi, Spencer. Thank you.
A little bit of interaction with our listening audience. We're going to be talking to each of the candidates. And our telephone number is 530-605-4567. Our format today will be, as you found out a moment ago, be co-hosted by my daughter, Christy Largent. And we're talking with each of the candidates. And our first candidate will be Adam McIlvaine. And then he will be followed by Leah Tate. And then Gary Cadd will come in at the 8 o'clock hour. And then Julie Winter at 8:30. So we're going to have all four candidates coming in. It should be great.
Can we ask our listeners to tweet us questions for the candidates? If you tweet me at Christy Large, and I've got my phone right here with me. Adam, it looks like you've got your phone with you. But tweet us questions. We have a set of questions that we've come up with that we think you guys would be really interested in, and we would love to hear your feedback, too. So if you're on Twitter, tweet me at Christy Largent, and we will add your question to the mix. How does that sound? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Well, Adam, it's great to have you. And you are running for city council. Give us a little bit of background. Now, we're dealing with a listening audience that is primarily in the city of Redding, but there will be some people listening on the Internet out of the area that are traveling today. So, and a lot of people haven't heard of you. Now, some of us do know of you and know of your wife and her work with the Chamber of Commerce and in the community, but give us a background. Tell us about you and how you got to this position.
Well, I was born and raised on a rural farm in Nebraska and attended a rural school in my formative years of about 26 kids, K through 8, so grew up in a very rural area. After high school, I went to college in Michigan for 2 years, and after September 11th, decided to join the United States Air Force.
Good.
I served in the Air Force for 4 years active duty, and then I served in the California Air Guard after that. I was an Arabic linguist.
Okay.
And Courtney was a Korean linguist in the Army, and we met at the language school in Monterey, California.
And Courtney is his wife, who is the president of the board of the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Good.
And so we met, and we decided after we finished our time in the service that we wanted to settle close to our some grandparents to settle our family. And so we made a checklist between Reading and Nebraska, and Reading literally beat Nebraska in every category. So I'm very happy to be here. We moved back in 2005. Since then, I'm a past president and founder of the Active 2030 Club. Mm-hmm. The Active 2030 Club is a service club of young professionals. We have about 40 members now, and we raise about $50,000 a year that goes directly back to local children. So very proud of that. Past president of the Friends of Whiskeytown. Have done a lot of work for to improve Whiskeytown and the amenities out there. Currently the vice president of the governing board for the Reading School of the Arts. So very interested in that. My kids are now going to school and love to be a part of that. As we've talked about before, I've been a commissioner with the city of Reading for over 6 years, chaired two different commissions. I began attending city council meetings about 10 years ago. After I got out of the service, I was approached by community leaders asking if I would consider running for city council.
Wow, 10 years ago.
And at the time, I didn't know anything about the city council, but was interested in civic service because of my military background. So the suggestion was to be a commissioner and to get my feet that wet that way, and really enjoyed that. And I'm also a business owner. So
okay.
I'm a partner at a marketing firm in Reading, and we are very busy, doing exceptionally well right now. A lot of the business people I meet with, there's a lot of encouraging stuff happening right now, so I'm very excited about that. And I'm also the founder and managing partner of a tech company that I launched just a few weeks ago.
You're a busy guy.
Very busy, yes.
Yeah. So tell us about the what your dreams are for being on city council. Why? You've got so much on your plate. You've got small children. Why the city council? Why now?
Well, I'm very excited about Reading and the opportunities that we have. I want to see us do better. I think there's a lot of opportunity that we need to take advantage of. I'm a new type of candidate. You know, I have a long history of experience with technology, both in the business world and in the military. I want to see more of that type of leadership from the Reading City Council. And so that's something new that I bring to the table. And I'm campaigning on a few different economic development ideas that are very solid, concrete ideas that I want to see pushed through.
Like, can you elaborate?
So the first one is solar. I'm very interested in solar power. Harvard just put out a publication 2 weeks ago saying that solar is now the cheapest form of power in the world.
Wow.
And we have one of the sunniest cities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The state of California is forcing us to go renewable. We have to be 33% renewable by 2020. We have to now be 50% renewable by 2030. So I see an avenue for Reading to take something that we have a lot of, a natural resource of the sun,
right,
and utilize that and turn that into jobs and turn that into profit for our citizens. And so I'm very excited about that because it's a huge advantage for our city. And the other thing is that I want to start the Internet utility and start offering Internet services downtown. Very cheap, very fast Internet to our businesses and residents.
Now, elaborate a little on the Internet, because I know a lot of people have come and said, well, we have Internet. What are you talking about?
So what I'm talking about is bringing in very, very big pipes. So if you have, you know, DSL or cable at your house, you know, DSL would be like a garden hose. Cable would be like a fire hose.
Okay.
Fiber, what I want to bring to downtown Reading would be like the Sacramento River. I mean, we're talking very, wow, very big pipes here for businesses and residents. And, you know, 100 years ago, we were having the same conversation about electricity.
Right.
And our city decided that, hey, we can do this publicly and provide a better service at a cheaper rate. I think we can do the same thing with the Internet.
Create a public utility, kind of like RU.
Correct.
But it would be for Internet service.
Exactly. And so what I want to do is start a pilot phase where it's offered downtown,
okay,
as a proof of concept, and then move on from there.
That's a great idea and great leadership.
Some
there.
People would say, how do you pay for that? And I think it would have a pretty interesting answer, Adam, right, for the utility.
Right.
Didn't you tell me there was...
Right, so there's definitely many options to pay for it. So it's the initial cost would be between $2 and $5 million for the installation.
Then just for downtown.
Right, just for downtown. Then there's ongoing costs, but there's the potential for grants to pay for that. And there's other scenarios to generate money, but that's why we want to start with a small amount, is because to go citywide would be about $50 million to put in the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So you started with a pilot type.
So we start with a pilot, a proof of concept. We show what that can do to downtown. And, you know, downtown's at a 90% occupancy rate right now. And within 18 months after putting in this service, I think you'd see downtown at 100%
occupancy. Yeah, which is what we need.
Right.
This is very creative, very interesting to hear. And we're going to talk more about this in just a moment. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and ask you, what are the main issues that you see facing Reading? So we'll be right back for this interview with Adam McElwain.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, they provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, they'll subtract $100, plus give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, or coupons. Some restrictions apply. Please see the store for complete details. They accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and they do your insurance paperwork. Cypress or Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
Paid for by Joe Montez for Congress 2016.
With my experience in business development, I will focus on bringing jobs here. I know how to build jobs. In fact, I am the only candidate in this race that has successfully negotiated on multiple occasions contracts with a Fortune 250 company to land many jobs here in Chico. It's a model that can be replicated across the entire North State. I know how to do it. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of discipline. But I will do that. I believe your congressman needs to be actively working with companies to bring those jobs to the North State.
It's time for a new kind of leader that cares about the people. Vote for conservative Joe Montez on June 7th and get to know Joe at MontezForCongress.com.
I'm Joe Montez, and I approve this message because the North State deserves higher paying jobs.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
We're Billy and Patrick with the best new car offer on the planet.
Let's go summer!
Make no payments for 5 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months during the Summers on Us sales event going on right now at Reading Kia. And there's more.
Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
That's no payments for 5 months. Your first two payments made by KMF and 0% financing when you purchase a new 2016 Optima, Forte, or Kia Soul.
We just found your vacation money, and it's at 380 East Cypress in Reading.
It's the all-new 2016 Optima, the sporty 16 Forte, and the award-winning 16 Soul. No payments for 5 months, 0% financing for 66 months, and Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
Summer's on us at Reading Kia.
On approval to credit, offer excludes Soul EV plus tax, license, government fees, and any emission testing fees. Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and ReadingKia.com.
There we are, folks. We're ready for the election. It's coming up. The election is going to be June 7th in California. We have the absentee ballots are out there already. They arrived yesterday and the day before. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott. I'm joined by my co-host and my very special co-host, my daughter, Christy Largent.
Good morning.
And we are talking with Adam McElwain. And let me spell that right so we'll get it right. It's McElwain, McElwain. And Adam is running for city council. And Christy, you mentioned Twitter. Tell us about how they can tweet us something.
Tweet. You can tweet us a question. Who's the dad in the room?
There you go. There you go.
Tweet us at Christy Largent. It's just my name, ChristyLargent. It's so easy. Just hit that at Christy Largent and tweet us a question. You can also go to the KCNR chat pack on the website at KCNR. 1460.com. There's a chat room there, and I know a lot of you guys are active on that. So send us some questions over on the chat room if you don't feel like tweeting it out.
Or they can get it into us on Twitter. I love that word. I just have so much fun with that because all my friends were out there. Are we twitting or tweeting?
We're okay. Tweeting on Twitter. Okay.
But you've got that. So that's so we are active on the internet, and Adam is with us. And Adam, you've told us a little about it. We were talking about what's coming in your mind to Reading. It would be a possibility. What do you see, though, are the issues right now that are the main issues for City Council?
To me, the largest issues are public safety and economic development, and I think they're inextricably connected to each other. So that's what I'm really pushing for, is more resources for public safety. You know, when I began going to City Council meetings 10 years ago, we had a great police force. We had a proactive police force. We need to bring back a lot of the support services to the police force. You know, crime and law enforcement is the city's number one responsibility to the taxpayer. But at the same time, we really need to focus on the economy. I meet with a lot of business owners, and especially just in the last few months, it feels like there's a lot of positive momentum. At my business, we're having a very hard time keeping up with the amount of business that's coming in. And I talk to a lot of other businesses that are experiencing that as well, especially this year. So I think we really need to focus on the economy, because jobs and the economy attack the problem from both sides.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of issues with the homelessness and drug abuse, mental health. And when we create jobs and we improve the economy, not only do we pull people from those problem areas, but we create more revenue for the city for better services. So to me, it's all about the economy and what we can do to nurture the economy, improve the economy, enrich the business community here, and bring more businesses to town.
Right.
So what are your ideas for improving the economy?
So that's what I've been talking about, is the solar. There are 25 solar companies in town, and I believe that if we craft the right policy for the next 10 to 15 years, we could double, maybe even triple, the workload that those companies have, and that's hundreds of jobs. And
yeah,
these are living wage jobs. These mm-hmm. are blue-collar jobs, white-collar jobs, very important. People can go out and buy a home, raise their family here. And the other is the downtown internet. I mean, bringing in the big pipes for the internet will transform our downtown and bring in new companies, not just tech companies, but medical offices. There are a number of people that I meet with, business owners and such, that say, if our internet goes down, we send everyone home.
Yes.
Because we can't get any work
right.
done.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that's exactly right. You know, Stillwater Business Park is an opportunity for people to come in, have a facility. And as the area grows in the high-tech awareness, and let's face it, we're there. A little humor about, we're joking about Twitter and so forth. But the other day I was at a place, and we asked the fellow we were talking to make some notes. And I said, do you have a pencil? He said, what's a pencil? And he pulled out his phone. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's reality. And
yeah,
that's where we are. So we had better adapt accordingly. And I think this idea of bringing in the big pipe, as you're saying,
yeah,
is a great idea. But now also another issue that we notice is that we're losing a lot of our young people.
Yeah. And this is to address that same problem.
Yes.
You know, to bring in, we have the recreational opportunity. You know, when you're a young family or a young professional and you're actually making that checklist of where you want to live, you know, recreation is big. We have that covered. You know,
right,
we have endless recreational opportunities. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's big for young families is the K-12 education.
Right.
And our K-12 is incredible.
It is.
Didn't realize how amazing it was until we started looking for schools for our children.
Right.
And then we came up with four or five schools that we wanted our kids to go to.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, I mean, how many parents across the country have this dilemma,
yeah,
where there's so many good schools they can't pick from them.
Right.
What we need is that economic opportunity. And the city can provide the infrastructure to start supporting those businesses that young people want to work for. And this is clean industry, it's high-paying jobs, it's living wage jobs, and it's more economic growth for Reading.
Okay, now, a hot item right now is the 1/2 cent sales tax.
Yes.
Tell us about how you think about that.
So I've been following very closely the Blueprint for Public Safety for the last year and a half, and a lot of every one of my platform points that I published before the final Blueprint was put out are part of the recommendations. So I support many of the recommendations from the Blueprint and want to see them enacted. I am not supporting the sales tax, though.
Oh.
And the reason that I'm not supporting it is because it's a blank check.
Okay.
You know, there's no strings attached. And it's very hard to promise the people that money is going to get to where it's supposed to go. I would like to see strings attached. I would like to see a shorter time frame. But the thing is, I meet with a lot of people that are supporting the tax.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired of the smash and grabs. They're tired of the break-ins. They're tired of the scumbags that are walking around town. But I also meet with a lot of people that are very suspicious of the city council or have trust issues with the city council. Not sure if they want to send a blank check of tax money,
right,
and put it in the general fund for the city.
That's an interesting concept, because I know a lot of people are saying if we get the half cent, we're going to be in good shape. You know, we're going to have more policemen, more firemen,
right,
and more emphasis on safety.
Well, and right now it's all theoretical because the money comes in, and we know from our personal budgets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy. If you don't have it earmarked when you get an increase in income, that money's gone. It's like you never got it.
Right.
So I could see a similar issue would as your to your point.
Right.
If it's a blank check and there's no plan for how to use it specifically targeted.
Right. Well, they have proposed a plan. I have a lot of questions about the plan. One of them was incarceration. So they want to convert the courthouse in 4 years and offer that as new jail space. But I'm not sure how feasible that actually is. If this is a 10-year tax and we aren't going to start that for 4 years and maybe it's not finished for 6 or 7 years, does that mean we only get 3 years of incarceration from the tax? So I have a lot of questions still about the tax, and I think the people do too. It came so fast from when it was public to when they approved it, there wasn't a lot of chance for public dialogue.
Well, you know, obviously that will come up in the next couple of weeks because that's going to be probably a campaign issue,
right?
One way or the other. But the other one now that's on the front burner, we can't get away from, and I know there's been a lot done and studied on this, and that's the homeless. What are your thoughts about our homeless status right now?
The homeless issue is a very big issue, and I am very optimistic about the process that's happening now. There's a lot of collaboration, and I think this is a problem that needs to be solved not only by the city, but by the county, the nonprofit community, and the faith community. And I see that collaboration happening in a positive direction. I want to add to that collaboration, and I know that there's a lot of solutions that are going to be coming down the pipe here pretty soon. And as a city councilor, I will evaluate and independently each one of those solutions. But I don't want to – I don't have a silver bullet for the homeless issue. But I do want to add to that collaboration. I'm very excited to see that happening.
Go ahead. Christy, you had a question?
No, I just piggybacking on that. I mean, I think it's all combined together with what you said earlier about the jobs and getting that development. And I love the ideas of it. I'm just wondering how are we going to actually get it started? I mean, that I love the idea. I keep saying, yes, we need better education as far as higher education. We need more jobs. We need more professionals. We need more working members of our community, and yet where's the start going to come from?
Well, the two things that I offer again are the solar and the internet, and these are concrete, tangible ideas that are proven to be effective, and they're things that I can start working on immediately. So those are things that I'm offering to the people as economic drivers for our city and things that we can start on immediately.
Adam, you've been very articulate in this area, but we have just a moment left for our listeners to hear. Why should they vote for you? Just give us a thumbnail sketch there of why they should vote for Adam McElvain.
Well, I'm offering something new to the city council as far as my background and experience. I'm a business owner, so I understand the business community and the hurdles and benefits of running and operating a business in Reading. I have extensive experience with the city. I have extensive experience with leadership positions, both in the nonprofit community, on city commissions, in business. So I think my experience, the ideas that I'm bringing to the table are concrete, tangible ideas.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, Christine, any final question for Adam before we let him get on with his work and help around the campaign?
Well, I just appreciate you stepping forward because I think it's a huge sacrifice for a man with a busy family and busy career, and it's to take it to serve our community. We appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
And you know, Adam, we are in a community that is in a change. We know this. We were talking about this earlier. A lot of things that are very exciting are happening here. We're being recognized on a national scale now for the quality of lifestyle we have. And when we come back from the break, we're going to kind of fit in with what you're talking about business opportunity.
Yeah.
We have a company here in town that's been awarded one of the 20 best workplaces in healthcare.
Wow.
And that in itself says something. It's Owens Pharmacy. And they're going to come in and just tell us a little about this award. But that's what we have here.
Yeah.
We have a lot going for us.
And what I want to do is I want to create a 21st century city and a city where my kids won't hesitate to settle in when it's their time.
Right. There you go.
To raise their families.
That's great vision.
That is a great vision. Adam McElvain has been our guest. We really appreciate your coming in. We wish you the very best in the next few weeks.
He's running for city council, and our first election is June the 6th.
7th.
And the city council election is in November.
That's the big one there.
Yeah.
We have a big election coming up this shortly, but then the big city council. So you have plenty of time to get out there and hear.
Call Matt. Call Adam. Ask him your questions. Connect with him. What's your website?
So adammcelvain.com, and feel free to call me. And my cell phone is 276-7012. If you want to call with a question, I'd be happy to take
it. Good. And one more time, that telephone number?
276-7012.
And the webpage?
adammcelvain.com.
Pretty easy.
All right.
Thank you, Adam, for coming in. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back with our next guest.
Thank you, Ron.
Adam.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hi, food fans. Alton Brown here. If you saw my first live tour show, you may recall the magnificent jet cream, the mighty Mega Bake Oven, or a gaggle of belching sock puppets. Now we're cooking up my next course, Alton Brown Live Eat Your Science, with new songs, new potentially dangerous demonstrations, and newer, belchier puppets. Alton Brown Live Eat Your Science, fun for the whole family.
Sunday, May 22nd, Reading Civic Auditorium. Buy your tickets now. ReadingCivic.com, 229-0022, or at the Civic Box Office.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Good morning, Reading and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR Community Radio, our free fire media for the North State. And my co-host this morning is my daughter, Christy Largent.
Good morning.
And we have a real special announcement to make, and that is in our community right here, we have one of the top 20 best workplaces in the nation in healthcare. And it's our own Owens Pharmacy. Owens Healthcare right here in Reading, and
yay,
with us to really
clapping,
give that's
cheering,
right, to
lots of clapping.
There you go, to recognize them, and they're going to come back in later on in the coming weeks and months and talk more about this. But Steve Mattson, your president, what's this all about? You're number 13 nationally. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. It's a national recognition from a company that really it's not really their decision. They survey the employees, and so they survey employees and find out employees that feel like their workplace is a great place to work, and they have 58 criteria they use, and We came out to be 13th in the country in healthcare, so we're pretty excited about it.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And we were talking with the candidate, and we'll be talking with him the rest of the 2 hours here. That's representative of what's going on in Reading. We have a happy, happy workforce for the most part, and thanks to you and the leadership.
Yeah, we think it's pretty great in Reading too. That and to have a place in Reading in this relatively small community compared, and to say it's one of the best places in the country to work. So we think it's pretty
now
great.
Now, people, and you're joined by the way by your HR director, Miley. It's good to have you too.
Thank you.
And but now Owens is a big you're a big player in the community. How many stores do you have here locally, and how long you've been here? And give us a little brief background.
Well, we've been here since 1957, so long time. And there's about 20 entities in all of Owens. There's four different divisions of Owens. What people mostly know is for the retail pharmacy stores.
Right.
But we have medical equipment, we have infusion and compounding, so we have some different divisions. But we have about 200 employees in
Reading. Wow, and spread out in these different divisions.
Yeah, spread out throughout the North State, really.
And your locations are where?
Miley, you're probably better at that. We're all over.
We're in Reading, Anderson, Red Bluff, Chico, Weaverville, Weed, Yuba City,
good night,
Susanville,
Mount Shasta,
and Mount Shasta.
Well, now Palisadro.
That's our newest retail
farm.
That's
brand new one.
So I have a quick question for you because I wish we had more time. I'm just so curious. Why do you think your employees voted you so highly, and why are they so happy, and what are you doing right?
You know what? I'm happy that we're coming back another time because we do a lot of things proactively. It's a goal of ours. We have this saying at Owens is people first, and we constantly say in our new hire meetings that our most valuable asset walks out the door every night.
There you go.
And it's all about people and human beings. And Miley, our HR director, it's a ongoing every month. There's things that we're doing that are more on the human side and make sure that people at work enjoy each other's company. And wow, they're really friends and a family. We know most everybody's name, I think, in the organization.
That's
the way it operates.
Yeah, that's great.
That, for you to say that with 500 employees is
with 200, but 500 someday.
Some hundred. 200. It doesn't matter. It's still a lot.
You're a major employer.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned you're going to come back and give us more detail, and we will have you back in. But I just want to tell you that from my perspective, you guys do a wonderful job. I think the community really appreciates you, and I know your expansion into like local areas, like into Weaverville and into Palisadro, are indicative of the fact that people like to do business with you.
Well, we appreciate it, yeah. And being part of Reading and the environment here is changing, I think, and so it's pretty neat.
So we've been talking with Steve Mattson, who is president of Owens Healthcare here in Reading, and he was joined by Miley, his HR director. They're going to come back in for a longer segment to talk more about what they're doing, but they were recognized number 13 in the nation out of the 20 best workplaces in healthcare. A wonderful, wonderful award, and we're going to talk more about this in each break today because people need to know that you guys do the job. You got great employees. We appreciate you so much coming in.
Yeah, and we're talking to people who are running for city council today, and so they're constantly on the discussion is how do we make Reading a better place to live? How do we have better businesses? And you guys are walking the walk, and it's exciting to see. I know we're going to get questions of are you hiring?
Yeah, that's right.
Always. And we are.
Always. Good.
Always. Well, so where should they contact you?
For if they're interested in a position at our website, which is myowens.com, we have a careers website, and we list all of the open positions, and they can put in application right online. And then they can always call the Human Resources Department and talk to me or someone in the HR department about a job.
And Christy, you're going to get their photo and put it on Facebook for us, and so people that can listen in or can go on Facebook and see who you are, that you do exist. And by the way, are you one of the bike riders on your bike team?
I am not. There are a couple, though.
There you have a great thing.
Yeah.
Thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate it. And we're going to allow you guys to come back in at your convenience. We're going to invite you to come back in and then have a chance to visit with you in more detail. So thanks again. And while the Owens representatives are leaving, we're going to ask Leah Tate to come in, who is another candidate for city council. And we'll take a little break here and then just a 30-second break and be right back. And thanks again, Owens Healthcare, Steve and Miley, for coming in.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back, Redding and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Media. Friday morning, Friday the 13th, and I'm joined by my co-host and my favorite daughter, Christy Largent.
I have
two favorite daughters. I have a daughter, Christy, and daughter, Carrie. They're both favorites. And two sons that are both favorites, obviously. And you've listened to Kurt on the Saturday radio show. But today we're visiting with the candidates for City Council. That's the important topic that we're on today. We visited earlier with Adam McElvain, and now we're visiting with Leah Tate. Leah is running for City Council. Welcome, Leah.
Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate it and glad to be here.
Well, Leah, I know you've been here, and I've heard your background, but people that are listening may not be aware of how you got to where you are and all that kind of good stuff. So give us a little background. Who is Leah Tate?
I am happy. I love a microphone. So happy to do it.
I love that.
So my family moved here when I was two. They moved to the North State. My father came here to open up his neurosurgery practice. I went to all local schools, Bonneview, Sequoia, and then I'm a 1993 Shasta High School grad.
Okay.
I went to University of California, Berkeley.
Okay, Go Bears.
Go Bears. Right, I was waiting for that. And then I went directly to Fresno, and I studied at the California School of Professional Psychology, received my master's in 1999 and my doctorate in 2001. Went directly from there to a position at Kaiser Permanente in the Bay Area and stayed there for several years. Got a lot of great experience in mental health and then moved back to the North State in 2008. Family, love the community, and back here to do some good.
Good. Now, I know that, of course, our listening audience, as we're now in election season.
Absolutely.
With the big election coming up in June and the city council coming up later on. So people are thinking, what do you bring to the table, and why do you really want to run? I mean, what's your driving motivation? You have a lot going for you, and certainly we appreciate what you do in the community, but give us the why.
So right now, I was very involved in the last election cycle with the election of Councilman Weaver, and that election for me, and I think for the community, was such a turning point. Reading residents were very clear, and they wanted a different leadership direction, and they voted, and we definitely have a different council than we've had the past several cycles, and I see it as positive momentum, and I want to keep that momentum going in the right direction. I think what differentiates me from other candidates is that I have this extensive mental health background, which is vast because I've worked inpatient, I've worked outpatient, I've worked in emergency rooms, I've worked in the courts, I've worked in juvenile halls, and you know, one of my proudest accomplishments is working for a natural disaster, Hurricane Katrina. I was a first responder there and ran mental health for the state of Mississippi mental health teams. So with that type of mental health experience, that's what we're seeing in our streets today, yeah. And I feel like I can contribute something, and I'm happy to do it. You know, I love this community. I moved back. I have a great husband who I met at Sequoia, and he's an Air Force veteran and a firefighter for the city of Medford, and we have two young daughters, 3 and 5, and we can make this community better. And something I was thinking about this morning, in this town, there are 4 generations of Tate women. I have my grandmother who's 96, wow, and my youngest daughter who's 3. They all need different things.
Yeah.
But our streets need to be clean, they need to be comfortable, and they need to feel safe. And that's what I'm here for.
I love hearing that, because my own experience with what we live near downtown, so we see this every day, day in, day out, to the point where my brother-in-law had been visiting from North Dakota,
And he sent us an email yesterday that said, I was just thinking about you guys and remembering that when I drove by on the way to your house last time I was in town, I went by the 7-Eleven and saw some kind of questionable characters. And have you guys thought about putting in a security system? And I thought, wow, that is so strange that when he thinks about us living here in Reading, that's one of the things that pops to his mind. And I'm glad to hear that's, I mean, we know that it's all related, right? The library, you could barely go to the library today because it's like a war zone over there with the homeless who clearly have mental issues.
And that's where, for me, some opportunities are coming up that will give us a fighting chance to clean up what we need to clean up so that we are attractive. So when people drive through our cities, they don't see it as a security risk.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
see it as a beautiful area because yeah. that's why we're all here.
Exactly.
We like it here.
Right.
And so even in one of my current positions at Patients Hospital, you know, we do recruiting of physicians from out of the area. We drive them around. We tour them around. I don't want them to.
Right. You don't want that to be their impression.
No. I want them to want to live
yeah.
here.
So what are the things you have in mind to start the ball rolling in that area?
So you know, everyone now knows about the sales tax initiative that was presented last Tuesday. Very excited about this opportunity. And I call it an opportunity because I love how it was laid out. Each where the monies need to go. I love that it was a city and county collaboration. That's a direction that we need to keep going. That's the momentum. And it gives us an opportunity to bring things from 1980s up to where we are now. And kind of the best analogy, I don't know if either of you know this, but I competed in a boxing tournament at Wind River last year.
Oh, my.
We didn't know that.
She says with a funny look
on her face. I do a funny look. It was a tough man competition, and I won, which is awesome.
Of course you did.
The whole training, all my coaches said, you fight your fight. You fight your own fight. The moment you shift to your opponents, you've lost.
Play your own game.
You always play your own game. So I took away, you got to be proactive
yeah.
versus reactive. And that's what we need here.
Okay, so we have homeless as an issue.
Absolutely.
Now, tied in with that, and this is a topic that comes up, we have our transient population, some of which are homeless, but not from homeless areas in Reading. And I know this is coming up. I'd like for you to comment about how you see the differentiation of the two. And then secondly, how this ties in with the mental health connection.
So we throw around the term homeless a lot, and that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Right now, I feel like the Good News Rescue Mission does an excellent job of tracking individuals. We've really never had that until Jonathan Anderson stepped into the helm there,
mm-hmm.
tracking accountability, looking at numbers.
Okay.
So a few months ago, he went to city council and presented.
Now, Jonathan mentioned that Jonathan is with the
Good News Rescue Mission.
Right, okay.
And so, you know, he's looking at numbers saying this amount of people left the area, this amount of people got jobs, this amount of people went to college. I love that type of accountability because
okay.
it's something to point to as this is effective. And the other part is, and this ties into kind of the initiative for the sales tax, I don't know, and I don't think anyone else knows, how many homeless are actually also mentally ill.
Right.
So for mm-hmm. me, part of the excitement is, okay, if we get these funds for mental illness, how many people will take advantage of that help and get off the streets?
Yeah.
What do you think in your past experience? Because you wonder how many won't get help
right.
because they don't want help.
You know, I've worked in mental health a long time, and it seems to go, in my experience, it goes through ups and highs and lows. And it seems that if there is an appropriate process in place and it's accessible, people will come. If there are obstacles, a lot of hoops to jump through, it's frustrating, and it's very hard if someone is on drugs or dealing with a serious mental illness, and you tell them, yes, I have an appointment for you. However,
yes, step one, step two.
But it's in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It doesn't happen. We need immediate response.
So we just got a question in on the chat room.
Well, we'll see if I can answer it.
There's no budget for mental health from the city. This is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you run for supervisor where they have $26 million a year budgeted? I bet you get that question a lot.
I do, but as I said before, I believe in that city-county collaboration, and it's not us versus them. It's us, period. It just is. We're all living here together.
Right.
County has been struggling along for a long time. The sales tax initiative is an opportunity to funnel some funds into mental health that has never been there before.
That's an interesting concept there, mm-hmm. and I think obviously is a way for the future to work in cooperation. Another question from our chat room. What are your feelings about the unfunded pensions and the effect of bringing more new officers and
CSOS,
safety officers, have on the pension issue?
I've been researching that for some time. That number is huge. It's upwards of $300 million. It's a large number. I have a financial person looking into it because I want to look at solutions for that. The way I understand it at this time is that number keeps going up and then kind of levels off at 2020. Hmm. And that's all the information I have. I'm really waiting for a financial analyst to get back.
Yeah, but it's a big issue.
It is an issue, and people are concerned, and they need to be concerned.
You know, Leah, one of the things that's impressed me is that the candidates running, we obviously have a group of you younger folks. Of course, everybody's young to me, but
the 76-year-old man who rode 76 miles on his 76th birthday.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true. Yeah. October 16th.
But whatever. the fact of the matter is we need, at least there's an element that feels young leadership is critical here. And we've talked about the fact that earlier we recognized Owens Healthcare as one of the top healthcare, number 13 in the nation, in healthcare industry. The fact that we have young people here, and this ties in with my question, which is, what's your opinion on the so-called brain drain that the young people are leaving because they don't have a job here?
So the brain drain is in existence. we have young people here. So, let me back up. So people, like you just said, we have young leaders coming in. I'm 40 years old. I don't feel so young sometimes.
Well, you don't look it, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Have I mentioned Randy Tate is a facial plastic surgeon?
Brother.
And that's your brother.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So I feel that there is a younger generation behind me. They're age 25 to 35, and I've spoken to a lot of them, and they don't know it yet, but that's our next generation. I have a few on my campaign team. They're amazing. They're innovative. I don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
I want their companies to stay here. I want their families to stay here. But to keep them here, they need a quality of life. They need economic growth. They need safety. And they need a sense of security. It's what we all need.
Yeah.
But that generation behind me definitely wants it. And, you know, there are strings pulling them all the time. They could go to San Francisco. They could go to Portland.
Right.
They could go to Seattle. Mm-hmm. All those things are attractive. But the young innovators that are here now are committed to Reading. I mean, so I don't want to lose them.
Now, you're coming out of a business family, even though it's a medical connection.
Yes.
And obviously, one of the issues are jobs. What's your take on the economic conditions going on now, and what do you see happening here?
So I love a job. I want more of them, absolutely. It's hard for me to bridge the gap with our streets looking like they do, that a new company is going to come in and plunk down $50 million, $30 million. Back to the sales tax initiative, it gives us an opportunity to clean up our streets and make it attractive for someone, a new company, to come in and provide jobs. But I'm a supporter of jobs, absolutely.
Yeah. So you kind of feel like let's do this in the right order. Let's get the streets clean, and then we'll be more attractive to attract new business.
Yes, and, you know, we have business locally that can grow, but they're used to seeing our streets like this, unfortunately.
Well, you know, but they're hindered. Like Sam with the carousel downtown, finally she sold it.
Yes.
So good luck to this new girl. I mean that in all sincerity. It's a darling store. But every day she's dealing with excrement on her front porch.
And I drive by there all the time.
How do you grow business in that environment?
Right. So for me, it's, can we clean up our area? Then I think companies would want to come in. We have so many amenities, and we forget. Mm-hmm. As residents, we forget.
Yeah.
People visit me, and they go, this is gorgeous. It's beautiful.
I have a quick question. When Adam was in earlier, he was talking about how his concern about the sales tax is that there are no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm hearing you be incredibly positive about it. So where's the difference? What's making the difference for you?
So for me, here are the things I like about it. I like how it was the city and county together coming up with the numbers, giving up things, adding things together. There's no fight there. It hits fire, police, mental health, jail. It hits everything that everyone's been complaining about for at least 10 years that I can recall. And the other thing is there is a 10-year sunset period on that, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that it's not 5 years because that's not long enough to get in there to do something, but it's 10 years. So voters, if they didn't like it, they can be done with it. They don't have to vote for it again. And then the other thing Councilman Weaver has suggested is putting the money in a separate account so it doesn't get lost in the general fund, because a lot of people are, I've had calls about concerns about what if it doesn't get to where it goes. And I just feel like it's an elected person's responsibility to make sure money gets funneled to where it's supposed to go. That's what we're elected for.
You know, I appreciate that, Leah. You come across to me in our interview here and in our previous interview, you're a very analytical type of thinker.
I have been called that before.
Okay. Now you're running for city council.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have a lot of things put on your plate. Mm-hmm. Do you have any priorities other than the mental health issue? Because we know that you're obviously very concerned mm-hmm. about that. But I know voters are concerned about what is she going to do to help grow the business. Mm-hmm. And that's an analytical process because we have to pay fees, which we're confronted. Give us some insight on that topic.
So as far as my priorities, public safety. So when I say mental health, it ties in. It's domestic violence, it's substance abuse, and I call all of that public safety.
Okay.
So I'd say I'm an advocate for improving our public safety. And we also have this slow economic growth. Slowly. We're creeping there. And I'd like to see that expand, but that also ties back for me to the public safety issue.
Yeah.
As far as trying to improve business in our area, we also need to be there for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to rely on one another. And we have been doing that for decades. But we can't do it all. You know, my father owns Patients Hospital. We've had many incidents. Midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, people knocking at the door.
Right.
You call the police. They're not there. They can't get there. Things like that. But it all goes back right now to public safety.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we have two elections coming up, and I want to be sure the voters understand this, because on the June 7th election, we have our county election for our county
supervisors,
and then we have our national primary, but then we have a few months before we come to city.
Right.
And so we're, in essence, having two elections, two times to vote in the next 6 months.
Yes.
And there's going to be an opportunity for people to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Give them some contact information. How can they get a hold of you? Web page and telephone number and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. So I do have an awesome web page that was designed by some of my younger innovators on my team, and that's LeahTate.com. I also am on Facebook, and I've been updating that with people in the community that I've been meeting with, and that's Leah Tate Redding. And my cell phone, I'm going to put it out there because I feel like people need to be able to reach me.
Okay.
What is it?
We have another question that came in for just a moment.
Okay.
But before you ask it, I want to be sure and go back over. That deals with the library.
Oh, good heavens. Okay.
But before I ask you, once again, tell people how they can find out more about you with your webpage and
your
so
phone
forth.
LeahTate.com. Mm. And I'm on Facebook, Leah Tate Redding, checking those all the time. And open to questions. That's how people usually contact me.
Now, you're going to have various seminars and meetings going on around town with all of the candidate meetings.
Yes.
And I know that people will want to hear more about your ideas because, obviously, in fact, the next question we have, and by the way, folks, we encourage calls coming in, but what we really want to do is we want to get the feedback from our candidates on how they view issues. And we were just talking about the library, and we have some problems there, but I think our goal in Reading is to solve problems and not create more problems. Obviously, it's to solve the problems we have, and one of the problems is what some people have referred to as the war zone at the library. The immediate solution to that, what would you think might be a way to go on that with the library?
So the library, as we know, is a war zone. I've taken my children there, and I'm always a little shocked at what I'm seeing. But and I realize there's some constitutional rights that go along with that as well. This is a difficult one because the constitutional rights are there and they are able to be there, but obviously it's not working for the community.
We're not
feeling safe. People don't want to bring their families there, so we need to come up with a different solution. And that could be anything from, you know, making maybe adding some pieces to the Good News Rescue Mission, because if you're there for a while, and I've stood there and just watched, people are kind of just hanging out.
They are hanging out. They're loitering, yes. I believe is the term.
Yeah. They really are just hanging out, and they're using the restroom to clean up and things like that, so that, you know, if that's what they're doing, then how can we look at that and maybe put something elsewhere.
Give them another place to hang out, which is part of the whole,
Well, it's on the agenda, obviously, for many.
Yes.
Leah, we've been talking with Leah Tate. She is candidate for Reading City Council. She is one of the four candidates we have running. She's a very articulate, very interesting person to be with, and it's great to have you on our program.
Thank you.
Once again, leahtate.com. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
And as the election season grows, we wish you the very best. We thank you very much for coming in.
I appreciate it.
And good luck.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We'll take a break, Leah, and be right back with our next candidate for city council.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
That Congress has been permitted to sue the executive branch over a disagreement about how to interpret a statute.
Iraqi officials say a group of gunmen, including two suicide bombers, stormed a coffee shop in a town north of Baghdad early today, killing at least 13 people. Reporter Susanna George.
This is the third day in the row where we're having an IS attack with significant numbers of casualties in Iraqi territory that's under government control and far removed from the frontline fighting against.
The worst of the attacks this week struck the sprawling Shiite neighborhood of Sadr City, killing 63 people. The International Monetary Fund warns London's status as a global financial center could be eroded should Britain vote to leave the European Union.
The longer this uncertainty goes on, the more heavily it will weigh on investment and growth.
Britain is scheduled to hold their vote on June 23rd. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde says a so-called Brexit, if approved, could potentially lead the country into a recession. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
The TSA is under fire for paying out tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses to a supervisor who oversaw an operation that repeatedly failed tests on spotting explosives.
The bonuses were paid to a supervisor earning a base salary of more than $181,000.
And in 13 months, he gets $90,000 in bonuses.
Utah's Jason Chaffetz.
That's in addition to his health care and all the other things, retirement that he'll get. People don't understand that.
Lawmakers accuse the TSA of trying to hide those bonuses by paying them out in 9 payments of $10,000 each.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines, a screening system problem that caused more than 3,000 checked bags to miss their outbound flights in Phoenix has been fixed, but it did force some passengers like Nicole Vargas to make some tough choices.
I'm going to trash all my liquids and take the luggage with me.
Had to pack all of her bags into her carry-on so she shouldn't have to worry about her luggage. More of these stories at townhall.com. A report by Oxfam says life is hard for those who work in many chicken processing plants around the country.
They work in what's called a climate of fear, and these are workers who are terrified to ever speak out, report a problem, or ask for help because when that happens, they get harassed or discriminated against.
Oliver Gottfried is an advisor with Oxfam. Aware of the well-publicized environmental threats to honeybees that have reduced numbers worldwide, seven San Francisco hotels have built hives on their rooftops for the bees.
They're actually three times more effective pollinators than any other pollinators out there. So these bees are very important to the pollination process. And
that's Fairmont San Francisco spokesperson Melissa Farrar. The sustainability effort also benefits the hotels as the bees produce honey for things like cocktails, food, and even spa treatments. It's the latest in a series of environmental programs at hotels that includes low-flow toilets and aggressive recycling programs. More of these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Redding and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott on Community Radio for the North State, Free Fire Radio, and you can call in at 530-605-4567. As I mentioned, I'm Ron Largent filling in for Carl, and I'm joined by my co-host, and as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite daughters, of which I have two favorite daughters, Christy Largent.
Good morning.
Is our co-host, and our guest for this segment of our program is Gary Cadd, candidate for City Council, and we'll be talking with Gary in just a moment, but in the meantime, we have a Wells Fargo Market Minute, and Susan Eastman, you're out there, Susan. What's going on in the market?
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Okay. We were just waiting for you to come on, so we need to know what's going on in the market.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Well, major averages are starting up mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 25 points at 17,695. The S&P 500 is off 5 points at 2,058. And the NASDAQ Composite is up 13 points at 4,750. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, NVIDIA up $4.40 at $39.96 per share. Apple trading higher up $1.10 at $91.42. Facebook off 28 cents, trading at $120.04. For local stocks of interest, PG&E off 7 cents at $59.17. PepsiCo down 65 cents at $105.44. AT&T down 29 cents, trading at $39.26 per share. Treasuries are mixed along the curve. The 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 1.73%. And in commodities, gold is down $3.20 an ounce at $1,269.10. Silver up a nickel at $17.18. Crude oil down 80 cents, trading at $46 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Thank you, Susan, for giving us that market update. We appreciate it. The market is up and down. Christy, we have a guest with us. And
yes,
we do. It's
Gary
Cadd, and we're getting ready for our election season. We have two big elections coming up, one in June and then one in November. And Gary is with us as one of the candidates.
That's right. And I have to say, this is my part of my favorite time of the year because I love politics. And today we get to talk about it. I hardly ever get to talk about it because no one wants to talk about it. But we love talking about it. And today we've had two of the candidates already on. And now we've got Gary Cadd here with us for the next, 15 minutes, and we're going to get to pick his brain a little bit. And for those of you who don't know Gary, he's currently a council member. Welcome, and let's start off by asking, tell us about you. For people who don't know you, who's Gary Cadd, and what are you all about, and how did you get to where you are here today?
Well, Gary Cadd has been here in Redding for over 13 years now. When I first came here in 2003, I came from Alaska. I was still working up in Alaska at the time, and I continued working in Alaska up until January of 2007. And in January 2007, I retired from up there, and I continued attending city council meetings because I was a political character up in Alaska. And so I attended the city council meetings, and it bothered me some of the things that were going on. It seemed like the tail was wagging the dog. And so from the second meeting in January of 2007 till today, I have missed two meetings.
Wow.
And I don't get there late, and I don't leave early. I've been
so in other words, you're a glutton for punishment.
Well, it's either a glutton for punishment or somebody that actually reads the agendas. And I spoke hundreds of times in that time frame from 7 up until December of 12 when I was seated on the council. And I did run two previous times before I was seated on the council. But I've known about the unfunded pensions and been screaming about them for years. It was good to hear that Ms. Tate was going to have her person putting you need an actuarial to put the whole figures together on the unfunded pensions and the $300 million roughly to CalPERS, and there's another roughly $70 million to PARS, the second. We will be having a presentation for the community coming up probably within the next month and a half, on the whole issue of where we started, how we got into it, how it escalated, and then where we're at now and what the prognosis is for the future. And I say prognosis because it could be very dangerous for the city of Reading.
Well, I'm glad this is happening, and I wasn't aware of the fact that you are going to have a presentation. In government, when you're part of the process like you are, oftentimes the topics that you're concerned with and about and talking about are totally unknown to a big segment of the population. And unfunded pensions is one of those.
Yeah, people are like, what on earth is that? What are you even talking about?
Right.
Can you explain a little what you're talking about?
Quickly, yes, I can. What happened back in 2001, the police department, they increased their retirement. So in 2001, they increased by a third.
Okay.
They went from 2% to 3%. So that was on public safety. Well, when they did that, it was fine. That's give them the increase. It was fine with me. The problem was they made it retroactive back to the first day that person went under the PARS retirement plan. So if somebody already had 15 years in, they got that increase.
Wow.
That's where the increase. That's where this unfunded.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
A sweet deal. But see, the thing with it was, if you have an increase that say starts today, we're going to give you an increase on your retirement and it starts today, then that way the council can budget for it.
Right.
It's budgeted in every year's budget, and we're budgeted for it. But when it went retroactive, it was never budgeted.
Wow.
Now I know there was a ton of money back there, and I know that the employees and the unions will turn around and say, well, Gary, that there was money back there that the city shouldn't have spent. Well, I have a feeling they're probably right. All right. But having said that, what do I do? I wasn't there then. My thought, what makes Gary CAD, wasn't there then, because we wouldn't have gone there. I'd have been screaming bloody murder if I'd have been on the council back in those days. So what do we do about it? We've got an escalation plan against 25-year payoffs, because we're on a payment plan. CalPERS has us on a payment plan. It's not a matter of whether it's a future payoff someday. We're on the payment plan now. And this year was the first year that we had an acceleration going up. There's 5-year acceleration. When we get down to 2020, just on the unfunded, or CalPERS calls it smoothing, just on that is going to roughly increase it to somewhere between $11 and $13 million a year.
Mm.
Yet the city has to pay.
City has to pay.
See, this is something that I don't think that. Now we go back to when it was when it went into action. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the city council had to vote on it at that time.
Well, sure they did.
And I think and this ties in. And my point is that we often think, well, we don't need to go to the city council.
Right.
We don't need to be involved. Wow, look what happened. And that's why people should pay attention to the candidates and what we're saying now. What are your positions on these issues? That's going to cost us millions of dollars.
Well, there's another thing. Back when it went in, when they put it into effect, there's I think it's a 1937 law that states that when you increase the pension funds, increase the pension plans, I'll put it that way, that you have to come out with the city would have to produce and make public an actuarial report showing how much this is going to cost in the future. In other words, we're going to give them this, but how much is it going to cost you, the people?
Right.
And it was supposed to be brought out 14 days before they made these increases. Mm. Well, so they did the police increase, they did the fire increase, and then they brought out PARs, a completely separate, that Mr. Warren brought out for everybody else, and why they call everybody else. There's public safety, and then there's miscellaneous. And the other folks that aren't public safety certainly are not miscellaneous, in my eyes, as far as working for the city of Reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is obviously a big
complex
item, a complex subject, but there's other issues coming up that we want to talk about.
Sure.
And we're going to take a brief intermission here and thank our sponsors that make this program possible. We have been talking with Gary Cadd. We will continue talking with Gary for the next segment and ask him some questions about some key issues over and above what we've covered so
far.
Moving forward. So we'll be right back after a brief intermission.
Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
We're Billy and Patrick with the best new car offer on the planet.
Let's go summer!
Make no payments for 5 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months during the Summers on Us sales event going on right now at Reading Kia. And there's more.
Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
That's no payments for 5 months. Your first two payments made by KMF and 0% financing when you purchase a new 2016 Optima, Forte, or Kia Soul.
We just found your vacation money, and it's at 380 East Cypress in Reading.
It's the all-new 2016 Optima, the sporty 16 Forte, and the award-winning 16 Soul. No payments for 5 months, 0% financing for 66 months, and Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
Summer's on us at Reading Kia.
On approval to credit, offer excludes Soul EV plus tax, license, government fees, and any emission testing fees. Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and ReadingKia.com.
Wings of Summer Butterflies opens at Turtle Bay for a limited engagement again this summer. From May 1st to July 10th, you can observe hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil, enclosed garden. Up to 32 species of butterflies will arrive as chrysalis and will enclose in the butterfly house. You can witness this magical experience or even release your own butterfly for just a dollar. The butterfly house is open daily starting May 1st. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Good morning, Reading and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent, and I'm joined by my daughter, Christy Largent, and we are the co-hosts replacing Carl and Linda today only. We're having a fun day. It's very enlightening for us. We are speaking with our candidates for city council. You know, I just get a shot in the arm when I talk with these candidates because they really have done their homework.
Yep.
And we've been interviewing Gary Cadd for this segment. Gary has been on the council, and we were talking about the unfunded pensions and very clear explanation for a very complex subject. But Gary, what else is a big issue as far as you're concerned?
Well, number one is unfunded pensions. There's no doubt about it. I mean, okay. I think that's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous problem. All right, and the other one, Ron, let's bring it up, but it's the sales tax.
Okay.
And if anybody had listened to the previous meeting we had when we voted that into place, I told them that we needed to, rather than put it on the ballot now, we really need to sell it to the community.
Right.
Let the people in the community know where the money's going to go, how it's going to happen, and what's going to go on. Now, with my prompting, Mr. Weaver wants to put it in a separate account. Let me tell you this, folks. You can put the money in a separate account. You could put it in the general fund. The separate account will be within the general fund. But I don't trust this city council or any future city council, looking at our past, any future city council with this amount of money. We're talking $110 million over 10 years. I don't trust them with that money. That money, they're going to make a contractual agreement between the city and the county to handle this money, the money we're going to be giving the county, okay? Now, in the process, they're going to put together a contract agreement between the city and the county. See, there's something called a JPA, Joint Powers Authority. A Joint Powers Authority was when two or more governments want to come together to raise and expend money. That's what it should be under. It locks down the money a lot better than it does having contract. I don't know what's going to be in the contract. Contract is legalese. It's amongst attorneys.
So what's to keep them from creating a JPA?
Nothing, except they don't want to do it.
Who?
Starman, Mr. Starman and Larry Lees.
And so they don't want to create one. And what's their reasoning behind that?
They just said the contract will take care of it. That was the answer they gave me. And see,
you're the city council people. What do your other city council members think about that? The idea of a contract versus a JPA?
Well, it was obvious the other four were in favor of it because it was voted. And in fact, I voted it was 5-0 to vote, put it on the ballot. Because you'll never see me tell the citizens, no, you can't vote on something. Mm-hmm. I'll never do that.
Right.
Now, I'm not in favor of it. I have problems with it, and I'd like to see those problems taken care of and worked out before the drop-dead date, which is sometime in the first part of August.
Be addressed. The issues need to be addressed.
Yeah, we've got to be straightforward with it. Let's tell the people where the money's going to go, what we're going to do with it, and how we're going to handle it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. And so we have the half-cent sales tax. Now, the other topic that's very popular, and we can't get away from it, is our homeless situation. Lots been said, and some things have been done. What's your thoughts on where we are with that problem?
Well, Ron, look at this way. Let me start off with this. First of all, my wife is on the board of the rescue mission. She's the secretary of the board, actually. And with that position she's had for some time now, I volunteer. Now, I don't mean I'm not down there every day, don't get me wrong, but when I have a chance, I volunteer. I take folks on tours, or I line them up. I shouldn't say I take them on. Ken White does. But takes them on tours, especially of the new Victory House, which we're tremendously excited about because it's just been completed. And this is the new home for the women and children that are within the program. They're working to straighten their lives out.
Right.
And they've increased it up. I think there's room for 36 in there now in the new Victory House. And it's a beautiful building. They've done a tremendous job. Now, the house that they came out of was called the House of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The House of Hope is an old home. It's an old house, old building. And they're already gutting it. They're refurbishing it. They're going to change it. Now, when they get through with that, there's going to be room for 80 women and children to spend the night in the House of Hope. In the House of Hope. So we wasn't it? I think the mayor was challenged to get 5 people off the street. As soon as we can get that completed and that's done, we're going to have 80 women and children off the street.
That's pretty impressive. That's a big number.
Well, it is. And see, this is granted, it's a religious 501c3.
Right.
So, I mean, there are some grants that are not available to them because they are religious.
Right.
But I don't know about you folks, but I think when it comes time to somebody to change their life, they need help.
Well,
one of the tremendous, I think, to me, the only way to change it is Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's religion.
And we agree with you on that, obviously. But the, okay, now.
So the House of Hope and the Rescue Mission is one avenue for dealing with the homeless and the mentally. What else is part of that picture for you?
Well, Well, let's put it this way. The part of the picture, Christy, for what we're doing is the homeless issue is from amongst the community. I do not see the city outside of a few hundred thousand dollars of putting into the homeless at all. We have unfunded pensions. We need more business in town. We have so many other things that the homelessness is a community issue, and it needs to be community driven, like with the rescue mission, the Good News Rescue Mission.
So you're separating the role of the city government and city funds versus the private community and private funds to fund and to address the homeless issue.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, that's very important because there's an element out there.
That's a clear difference from the other
yes.
candidates.
And there is an element in our community that says homelessness is a problem for the private community to address.
Ron, let me interrupt now. Now we're talking about. They talk about the economy here in Reading. The economy here in Reading is not bouncing back. We're not back on top again. The whole country is that way. I'm not just blaming Reading. The whole country's that way. Now, if we want to start improving things, we need to start building. We need to start getting people back to work. Because we look at the homelessness. I wonder how many people that are homeless today that 5 years ago had jobs. May have owned a home or been in an apartment, took care of their family. But the only reason they're not is they're up against the wall because they can't find work. Mm-hmm. We need to get out, and we don't produce the jobs as government because government can't do that and do it. I mean, you know as well as I do, government's not good at doing that. But we can bring new business in. And the one thing that's got me just totally baffled is why the city would be in favor of pushing Costco when they make their move to an isolated piece of property, an island, unto themselves, when Costco is probably the largest retail magnet we have in the city. And by retail magnet, I'm talking about attracting others that want to be in the same vicinity as they are. Mm-hmm. And if the rumor on the street is that they're possibly going to go down to the end of Bocelli, the traffic down there is going to be horrendous. I mean, totally horrendous. It's already bad down there now. You got I-5 at different times a day backing up where the three lanes turns into two lanes. The other day I went down the on-ramp, and I kick it up to about 60 miles an hour because you're going onto a freeway. And I thought, whoop, better slow down here. And as I entered the freeway, I was doing 45 miles an hour. And I understand at different times of the day it's even slower than that. Mm-hmm.
So what could the government do then to help increase jobs? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Costco needs to go out to Oasis is where it needs to go. And I know that the city manager says that Mr. Levinson has too many demands. Well, I've seen that negotiation piece of paper that they have. And I was able to be in just one of the meetings, and I've been sort of locked out of the rest of them. But I know that Mr. Levinson isn't that hard-headed, and the city could be working.
So what's the holdup?
What's the holdup? The city doesn't want to go out there.
Why is that?
You can tell me. There's powers that be within the community. It's 20 years they've been working on going out there. It needs to be taken care of.
Well, now this leads me then to go back to my days as an activist and say, now, as a city council member, why can't you make these discussions open? Why can't you get to the bottom of this? What do you say it's powers that you can't deal with, that you can't get the answers on Costco? Any thoughts on that?
The thing with it is, Ron, if you folks would come to the city council meetings, you see at different times when I bring issues up and start talking about something, sometimes I get shut down. They don't want to hear it. And it's something that's bothered me, but it's just the way things happen. But the community doesn't really know what goes on in their community because they rely on the newspaper. Not that Jenny does a bad job, but they rely on the newspaper to produce what's happened at city council meetings. The best way to do it is to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like the other three candidates come to city council meetings. There may be one issue that is important to everybody, and when that issue is over with, they get up and walk out. The next issue might be just as important. It may not be have the frills on it, but it may be just as important what's going on. When you come to a city council meeting, you need to come to the meeting, and you need to listen to it. You need to come to all the meetings.
Yeah.
If you can get my drift here, I don't want to say much more than this, but I went to every single meeting except for two.
Yeah. So
I don't know if
you
can say that.
Well, we've been talking with Gary Cadd, a candidate for Reading City Council. It's obvious, I got to say this again. You know, I'm actually excited to have these candidates come in here. I hear things that I've never heard before, and I speak for a lot of people, Gary. We appreciate your service. We appreciate the fact that you guys are up there on not only the council meetings but all of the background time. And, you deserve a round of applause. Whether we agree with all of the issues that come up and your positions
right.
is not the point.
Right. It's the fact that you're active and you really feel strongly and believe about this to support the community.
Well, one thing real quickly, we just had somebody, a blogger that came on here that I think they made some comment that a lot of people don't like Gary Cadd, but he does watch out. Well, the point with it is, if a lot of people don't like Gary Cadd, I respectfully say, do you know Gary Cadd? Are you listening to somebody else tell you about who Gary Cadd is? Or are you going to listen, and actually meet him and talk to him? And if you want to, 530-945-5889. I've given it out before. That's my cell phone number.
Say it again.
Give me a call. 530-945-5889.
Okay, and you have a web page.
Well, I have a web page, but it's not up to date because I don't feel we're really in our campaign season. We're in the supervisor. We should be listening to supervisors. We should listen to the state, the primary. Our starts, the sign-up closes in August the 10th or something like that.
So this is all just, in a sense, this conversation is about what you're doing as a city councilor right now.
Well, yeah.
And
but
vision is for the future.
But it fits right into being a candidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's have the phone number one more time.
530-945-5889.
Good.
And my website is garycadd.com.
And
but
it'll be updated.
It's not updated. It will be updated, but it's not updated at this point in time.
So we have been talking with Gary Cadd, candidate for city council, and you've been listening to Ron Largent and Christy Largent on the Carl and Linda Bott morning show. Gary, we really appreciate
your being here, Christy, and you, Ron.
And we will be hearing this program again in the future. It's being recorded. We'll do it again so people can get to know you. They know how to get a hold of you. And we thank you very much, Gary, for coming in. And I wish you the very best in the upcoming election. We'll take a brief intermission and be right back. Thanks, Gary.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You're paralyzed by the possibilities when it comes to dealing with your windows. What about function? Total darkness? Filtered light? Should there be a lining? And then there's fabric. Do you need blinds, curtains, drapes, shutters? Maybe a layered look. What about installation? At Budget Blinds Reading, you're given the very best of two worlds. Locally owned service and the peace of mind knowing Budget Blinds Reading offers more brands and more fashion-forward styles with window treatment options that work within your budget. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds Reading team are dedicated to giving you design help to create a home that reflects your personality.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window coverings, shutters, blind shades, draperies, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
This is going to be good. Wow! rodeo, steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding, rodeo,
Reading Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com. Click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer. Then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
Welcome back, Reading and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent, joined by my daughter, Christy Largent. We're the co-hosts for the Carl and Linda Bott morning show here, and Carl and Linda off. So we've had the very enjoyable opportunity to talk with candidates for city council. And in addition to that, we've had a couple of other added attractions. Of course, Haven Humane and that
adorable,
cute little adorable Olive. If you want the cutest puppy alive, call them today.
Yeah, it Olive is ready to go home with you. And a picture's on my Facebook page at Christy Largent if you want to see what she looks like. Adorable.
And then we've had another announcement, and we're going to have more detail on this coming up. But the reality is, one of our companies right here in Reading, Owens Healthcare, has been designated one of the best 20 places to work in healthcare in the nation. And they got number 13. And they were in to kind of give us an update. They're going to be back and tell us more about their 22 locations, their 177 to 200 employees. But congratulations to Owens Healthcare for the being designated, won the award number 13 out of 20 best workplaces in healthcare in the United States. And we're going to have a candidate with us in just a moment, Julie Winter, who's in the healthcare industry. But Christy, before that, we have something about going on.
Yes, for all of you listeners who are listening to this political morning, woohoo, we love it. And we want to reward you with two free tickets to the symphony this weekend. So we have two tickets to the North State Symphony. All you have to do is call in, and you can, they're vouchers, and you can redeem them before the day of the show, and you get to go see the final symphony of the season. You are in for a treat. If you have not been to the symphony, this is your opportunity. And if you have been and you've just been waiting to get your tickets, you want to go, you are in for a real treat. I was talking to one of the symphony members, and she was telling me about the pieces they're working on, and they just are stellar, literally.
It's a great symphony.
Yeah, so call now for your two tickets to the symphony.
And you can call us at 530-605-4567. And if you want to go on the chat page, we'll even allow that to happen, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Jared,
what's the rule, Jared?
He can
we'll
do
allow
it.
It.
He'll allow it. Okay. By the way, Jared does a wonderful job. He's here on our on the so-called board doing
technical
the job.
End.
He's a great guy to and I work with him.
Oh,
on
we
Saturday.
Got a phone call. Yay!
And our guest for this segment, this will be the final segment of this very very exciting day for us, is candidate for City Council Julie Winter. Julie, I know you. I've known you, and I know a little about you. But tell the listening audience, who is Julie Winter?
Well, thank you, Ron and Christy, for having me on. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here. So I, Julie Winter, have lived here for 27 years. My husband and I moved here in 1989. I grew up in Southern California, went away to school at Davis. I have a degree in genetics from Davis. I met my husband and fell in love with him and the North State way back in the 80s. So I'm dating myself a little bit. Went on and got an additional Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Sac State and finished up with a Master's in Nursing from the excellent NP program at UCLA. And by that time, we had two little boys, and we were looking for an opportunity to get back up north, and a job opened up for my husband at Mercy. So we've been up here since 89. We've raised our boys here. I've lived here longer than anywhere else, and I love this city. I work as a family nurse practitioner with Andre Van Maul. I've worked in numerous at-risk population settings, health department, Shasta Community Health Center, places like that over the years, but have been in private family practice for the last 15 years. So I treat a lot of mental health along with, you know, all of the other issues that that people have. I serve on the board of Advanced Reading, and that's actually one of the catalysts that got that whole project going, which is a great story in and of itself. I serve on the board of serve on the Community Advisory Development Committee. That group, I'm a board member of that group, and I'm also a member of my local professional organization. So really, really involved in many aspects of the city.
You have been involved, that's for sure. But you have so many things going on. I know you've been very active over the last few years. But why do you want to run?
Why do I want to run?
Why do you
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So I have seriously considered it for the last 6 years. I was challenged by three people near and dear to me 6 years ago to run. It took me a year to really think through that process and say, yes, I'm willing to commit the time, the energy, the focus to that. And I really care about this city, and I want to make the city a better place. But if I'm going to do that, I need to be able to accomplish something. So I had to ask that question. Could I affect change? Could I make a difference? And if I was going to do one thing, because you can't do everything on city council. People have different focus. You have Kristen, you know, which is doing a fabulous job with homeless issues, and Brent is really focused on public safety. And I want to bring the piece of jobs, economic development, because as a medical provider, I think strategically we have many social issues in our city right now. We have crime, substance abuse, mental health, homelessness. You know, once you're out of prison, you need a job. Once you're sober, you need a job. Once you have your mental health taken care of, you need a job. And we need good paying jobs. We need not just retail sector. We really need a diversified economy. So if I could change that piece, then I could affect change throughout the rest of the system, because you got to treat the disease, not the symptoms.
Right. Okay.
So what are your ideas for bringing jobs?
Well, I think what we need to do is really focus. One of the things the city's lacking is, I feel like, is vision. Where do we want our city to look like in 10 or 20 years? It's hard to create a strategic plan without vision. You have to know where you're going to create a plan. And then the problem solving is what you do along the way. So I see a city that's realizes its stunning natural beauty, its abundant riverfront, its world-class fishing, the trails, just our quality of life is one of our hugest assets that is underutilized. And the other are the creative and talented people that are starting and growing their businesses here. Typically, Reading has focused on trying to bring in businesses, outside businesses. This has been the focus of economic groups. And that's certainly understandable. But I think as a city, we need to figure out how we actually get around the businesses that are already growing, that have momentum. And so there's some great things that are happening over at the Venture Hub. It's quite exciting. There are emerging businesses in the tech and tech-related field, also in lifestyle businesses. So I would look at growing what we have, creating, really focusing on our quality of life, and then figuring out what the barriers are. I'm a person that gathers data. I've been actually interviewing business leaders and asking them, what is the biggest barrier to job growth? What keeps you from getting more people here?
What do you keep hearing?
And here's the answer. This surprised me. The answer is, I can't find the skilled worker I need here. And so I have to recruit outside the area. And when I attempt to recruit in L.A. or San Francisco, Reading has not told its story well. So if people don't know Reading. And then when they Google Reading, it's negative. So we have not created branding, marketing around who we are to recruit those skilled people that will propel these emerging, growing businesses here. You know, public safety is intertwined with economic development. Of course we need to deal with public safety. But we already spend 63% of the general fund on public safety. I don't know if you know that, but 63% of our general fund already goes to public safety. We could spend every penny we have on public safety and not, if we don't move jobs, we will still have a sick patient. You're just suppressing the symptoms.
That's a very interesting concept. Selling Reading outside the area, isn't that the truth? Now, when you Google Reading, guess what you get? You get the bad news.
Yes.
And we need to get the good news out there.
Yes.
And I know with you're very optimistic, your nature is one of you're very optimistic. But what can we do? We have visitreading.org, and we now have new leadership in the Chamber of Commerce. Give us some thoughts on how we can do this.
Yeah, I think this is a strategic time where there's definitely a growing, emerging interest in the Venture Hub, and I believe that's our future. And we don't have anybody at Stillwater Business Park, and the leaders have worked so hard to get companies out there. My hat is off to the people who have invested time out there, but I want us to come back to mobilizing your assets. What do you have? What has God given you? What are your talents? Use that, grow that, multiply that. So right now, those are some of these tech industries, these emerging tech industries. And Reading's a great place to live. We have an attractive workforce. I was talking to Rick Sprock over at Spirit of Solutions. They provide sales and tech support for seven different companies from outside the area. And over the few years that he's been here, he's created over 200 jobs. And many of these people have come up and then started a company like Tim Marinello at Catavolt that was just launched a year ago. It's 10 employees. Is a great example of this sales and service support because people like to live here. Why would you live in the Bay Area if you could live here? Many tech jobs are mobile. I'm not saying we can do all high tech here, but there's 70% of all jobs in California will be in STEM in the next 10 years.
And STEM is?
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yeah.
That's the job. Those are the jobs of the future. Reading right. can't do all of that, but we need to figure out, okay, this is who we are as a city. These are the jobs we can do. We're going to create jobs around, this is kind of what Bend, Oregon did. They created jobs around their quality of life and attracted mobile tech entrepreneurs and startups and created a really good culture to mentor business.
Right.
You have to create a culture that mentors and supports and invests in into that
group. How do you do that?
So I would look at some of the models. We certainly have the beginnings of that with the Venture Hub, which is new. It's like a baby. Mm-hmm. So I think we need as a city make sure that we keep that thing going. And we talk about it. We tell the stories of success. Right now our city, many of the people in our city are depressed because of the negative news, and we need to be, you know, we have Shasta's five most wanted in the record searchlight. Mm-hmm. Regularly, that hits you in the morning when you wake up. What if we had Shasta Five's serious entrepreneurs of the month?
That's a good idea.
And we told the story of what's happening. You create hope, and when you create hope, people will invest and start businesses.
That's a very good idea because you do read that Shasta Five. You know
every Sunday morning.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Steve Smith about this, the publisher. By the way, he's doing a great job.
Yes, he
publisher.
Is. Mm-hmm.
And the paper does a good job with the new USA Today connection there. We do have a caller, and Dick, you're on the line. Could you give your question to Julie, please?
I have a two-part question, Julie, for you here. First would be, you said you have the time and the commitment to be on the council, but we only see you pop into the city council meetings maybe every once in a while, and you don't even stay for the whole thing. How can you commit to a job that you can't even come to the meetings? Second part would be, McConnell Foundation, you have some ties to that, correct?
I do not have ties to McConnell. That's incorrect, but...
Okay. Well, they're our biggest anti-business. You're talking pro-business. They're our biggest anti-business. Well, how are you going to fight them?
Let's go to the first part of the question, because we do have an answer there.
Okay. So I have been attending city council meetings pretty regularly since 2012. I get to as many of them as I can. So I would disagree with your argument. I'm at city council meetings regularly. I've seen myself more there than any other city council candidate.
So thank you, Dick, for your question. But let's move ahead now. What do you see then? Let's talk about issues again. What's the future look like? And what do you see? I know you and I have spoken of the brain drain once before. Tell us what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know, that's a great point. We need to keep our best and brightest here because research shows that wherever the best and brightest migrate, that's where economies emerge. And so, again, that's coming back to creating opportunities for our best and brightest to live here. I love what Irma Olguin's done with Bitwise in Fresno, and that would be a great model for cities. She came up and spoke here, and I think some of our people at the Venture Hub are looking at that. But what they did is they created educational pathways down into high school into these emerging tech, these tech jobs that that are available that don't necessarily need a four-year degree. You know, the regent for UC, the UC system was here a couple of weeks ago. It doesn't look like we're going to be getting a UC as much as many of us would appreciate that. I certainly would. I benefited from our public college system. But that's probably not going to happen. So we need to figure out how do we use what we have to create the jobs that are the future here in Redding.
And that is a successful pattern to follow.
Yes.
So we can see what she did down there and
it is. It is. It is.
Or make it unique to Reading,
right.
But appropriate, successful pattern for Reading.
Exactly. And, you know, what they created hope by going into the high schools, doing creating a class that would expose these kids to the jobs of the future. And then after that, they could attend these six-week classes where they would get certifications. And then, you know, within 18 months or so, we're making pretty good jobs, like
right.
you know, 60,000-plus jobs.
I just heard a whole report on that on NPR, and those kind of programs are working across the country.
Right.
It's working the private community, the private sector working with, I mean, it's just like a collaboration for success and with a real end game in mind, not just like, quote unquote, fixing something, but creating a new system that
will
support the community growth and development. So tell us, I love these ideas. Who is working with you on your campaign? Who do you have like on board?
I have about 20. I have about 20 people that are officially on my campaign team, and so I've got lots of young people on the team. I have several people I consult with economically. Krista Buckle is my campaign manager, and she works over at NMR. And I've got a retired police officer, Linda Giske, is on my team. I've got some dear friends. My daughter-in-law and some other good friends are running fundraising. Julie Gussenhoven, you might know her from Rotary. Ron has been kind of advising me in the background. I have other people economically who are advising me in the background.
So you have a lot of, you have a big team.
But I don't have anybody from Turtle Bay or from
McConnell.
I'm really interested in that tech piece, so I consulted with Dan Morrill quite a bit on that, Rick Sabraka over at Spiritus, and I'd really love to create a pilot, a proof of concept. He's got a great project over there, Rick Sabraka does, and so I think we could replicate that here.
Now we have Candy is on the line, and she's got a question for you, Julie. Candy, your question, please.
Thank you. Julie, I'm understanding that we have jobs available in Shasta County, but we don't have people that are qualified to do the jobs. Is that correct?
That's true to some degree. It depends on the area of the work. If you're looking for like a highly skilled professional, you need a high-end UI, UX developer for software, or perhaps like SRMC is looking for a highly skilled physician. We had Owens coming on with that. We're having a hard time recruiting certainly highly skilled people that would cause that business to grow.
Okay, because I'm wondering, why aren't we trying to do something to help educate individuals to get these higher positions rather than bringing people in from L.A.?
That's perfect, and I totally agree with you. We need a plan to matriculate. It's not enough for my child just to want to go to college. I mean, the ultimate goal is not to go to college. It's to have a job. And
yes,
so
it is. I've already been through college, and I'm doing manual labor, but that's beside the point. If I have opportunities in this community, I want it to go to people who are living in the community and not just necessarily bringing people from L.A. up here. I have no problem with them coming up and enjoying our outdoors and spending their money, you know, for camping and fishing and all that good stuff. Because so promoting the outdoors and the recreational area is great. But I want to educate the individuals in Shasta County.
It's both. You need both. You need your some are short term and some are long term. So I've got I'm a business owner and I need a highly skilled professional for my business to grow so I can hire other employees. But the skilled professional I need isn't here. I have to be able to recruit them from outside the area. That means I need a city that can tell its story well and can help me do that. And then once I get them there, I need to be also looking long term and okay, now I need to help create career pathways to train up that skilled workforce. Right. So we need one of the things I would bring to city councils. I would ask we bring together a coalition of government, education, so workforce development, and business leaders. Jason Eatman over at DGI is looking and talking about this exact same thing because of the barriers they're facing. We create a coalition that says, okay, we're going to create a strategic plan around our assets, around our quality of life, around the skilled people who are here, around the businesses that are emerging, and we are going to drop unemployment rate from, 7.5% to less than 5%. We're going to raise our median income from 44 to, you know, the national average.
And Candy, thank you very much for calling. We do have another caller, and in the interest of time...
Yeah. Yeah, Rob, you're on with us. You've got a question for Julie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of hearing her say two different things about one subject, and that's about jobs. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm hearing you first say that we need to invest in what's here and in the people who are here. And yet, at the same time, you're talking about we have great industries that are already here, and the government needs to invest in those. And then in the same sentence, you're saying, well, we need to bring business and experienced people from outside the area in. So what is it? Could you kind of clarify that?
We need to do both. it, certainly in the short term, we need, there are some skilled professionals that we need here for our businesses to grow. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is creating workforce, a trained workforce. And Shasta College has been a key player in that. Kudos to them. They have some great programs, and they are fairly mobile and willing to work with business owners, but we need to do both. We need to be able to matriculate our kids into jobs in our community. There shouldn't be that disconnect.
And I'm hearing you say, let's create a plan. Let's create a plan. Instead of wishing, hoping that it will happen, you're saying,
right,
let's create a plan because the need is there for both. And I echo what you've said. I was just speaking for a local agency this past week, and they said our biggest problem is finding employees. Now, mm-hmm. They are not highly educated, they are highly skilled in that they are helping in-home helpers.
Mm-hmm.
So they are skilled, they need a skill base, but that's not a highly degreed position. Yet it's the same need that, like Leo Tate was talking about at Patients Hospital. They need higher educated, they
right.
need clearly right. expert doctors.
Right.
So it's just two sides of the same coin, isn't it?
It is two sides of the coin. And, you know, we want to maintain the quality of our life. That's why we all live here in Reading. I love this city. So I do want us to grow, but we need to be strategic in how we grow, and that we're growing in a way that attracts those young entrepreneurs to start their businesses here. And we have many of them, people who have come here. They're attracted to the area. They're attracted maybe because of our quality of life or because of Simpson or because of Bethel. They're coming from these international places, and they bring with them their own skill set, their money, their talents. We need to capture that market.
Okay, one final question, and this is on the front burner of many people, the 1/2 cent sales tax. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. Well, obviously, nobody wants to pay more for taxes. I'll just say that up front. I think we would all say that. On the other hand, I am not happy with what we have currently. And the bottom line is it needs more funding. It's $11 million in funding a year. That funding, there isn't a place to carve that out of the current city budget. I also appreciate the fact that this is a plan that was brought together by the city and by the county and social services, so they're really trying to look at the community as a whole, and it does involve some tax sharing with the county. Certainly, we need to make sure we have clear contract with them, and that there's performance standards, and that they deliver if we're going to give them money. But the bottom line is, I as a woman in this community, I often don't feel safe when I'm, you know, in the parking lot up by Shopko, and I've got my grandchild in the back, and I have to get that child out of the car seat. I am always got my eye out on the parking lot. Christy's waving her head. You're so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I've been confronted, aggressively panhandled many times, and it's just not. I'm not satisfied with where it's at. We need to have we need public safety to be better so that we can attract businesses. When people come up on our river or are robbed on Hilltop staying at a motel, that does not look good for our city. It's not acceptable what we have. And I like that there's the crisis stabilization center, that there's going to be some money towards mental health and sobering center. So there's some good stuff in there. Yeah.
Okay. Julie Winter, running for city council. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
All right. You can check out my website, juliewinter.com. I have a pretty deep platform there, and you can connect there with my newsletter and find out how you can get involved. You can also call me. I'll just go ahead and put my cell out there. Feel free to call me if you'd like. My number is 530-604-8173. 530-604-8173, juliewinter.com.
Now, Julie, as I've mentioned to the other candidates, and Christy and I both really appreciate the fact you are out there running for an office. We appreciate people that are involved in public service. The time commitment is significant for very little pay, relatively speaking. Thank you very much for being part of the growing community and the active community here. What would be a final thought that you would have as to why folks should vote for Julie Winter?
Well, my medical background gives me really good strategic thinking skills. So I'm always thinking of the vision, the end goal, and I have measurable goals set up along the way. So I'm really focused on that we are putting our resources towards root and not symptoms. So those good critical thinking skills. I've demonstrated leadership in the city. I've been committed and involved for 27 years, serving on numerous civic boards. I'm also a person who you just can't tell me no. I will find a way to get it done. There is more than one way, you know, to come to a solution for a problem. And I'm in it to bring change to the city, positive change.
And it's juliewinter.com.
Correct.
And your phone number one more time.
530-604-8173. 8173.
Okay, we've been talking with Julie Winter. Christy Largent has been my co-host, my lovely daughter, and we've been filling in for Carl and Linda Bott today. They're on a day off of celebrating. I understand there's a birthday or something like that in their family. But, folks, you've been listening to Free Fire Radio. Now, this weekend, we have lots of activities going on. We just want to hit one in particular that I think would be very enjoyable with the weather like it is, and that's the Reading East Rotary bike ride from Turtle Bay to Shasta Dam.
Do you know anyone in that
event? I happen to be riding that. It's for scholarships for Enterprise High School students. It's a fundraiser, but if you want to get out and have a couple of good hours on the Sacramento River Trail, this is a chance you have. It starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at Turtle Bay. You can sign up there and go for a wonderful ride for the family. It's a family event. It's not a race. It's a ride. And it goes to scholarships. And
go ahead.
Okay, then we have the start of Rodeo Week. And, boy, is that ever going to be exciting. It starts Wednesday night with the rodeo, as far as the rodeo is concerned. But leading up to that, we have these guys running around in yellow shirts called Asphalt Cowboys. Christy, you know anything about them?
Yep, I know. I just know what I read in the paper and see on the street. It's a lot of fun is what I know.
It's a lot of fun. The Asphalt Cowboys are the business connection. But the Reading Rodeo Association puts on the rodeo. Now, if you haven't been to a Reading rodeo, you have not lived. It's part of Reading. It has been for many, many years.
It's a huge part of our color in the parade. You know, as I'm listening to you talk about all these things as we wrap it up this morning, we've been talking about politics all morning, people running for a political position. But really, it's all connected, isn't it? It's all connected, and that's why we care about politics, because what you guys do on city council is what affects our day-in, day-out lives, and that's why it's so exciting that we all get to be a part of it. And just like whoever you're supporting for council, whoever you're supporting for president, just support someone. Be involved.
Be involved and
yay, America.
And vote. Yay, America. And Julie, thanks again for coming in. You've been great, as all the candidates have been. Have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to Ron Largent and Christy Largent and for Carl and Linda Bott. And have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you later.
Listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Morning, suggesting it's time for a reality check.
I'm a little bit old-fashioned this way. I think men ought to be able to go to the men's room. Women ought to be able to go to the women's room.
But school districts that refuse to comply could lose federal funds. The Texas Supreme Court has declared the state school finance system constitutional. It's a defeat for 600-plus school districts that sued. It also means the Republican-led state legislature will not have to devise a new funding plan. At least 30...